The following is the evening class given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on January 25th, 1994, in Vancouver.
I'm going to read and speak from a section of Srimad Bhagavatam, picking up where we left off two other meetings, where I spoke from the third canto, where Uddhav is speaking with Vidura. This section is very sweet and mysterious also, because Krishna, He is inexplicably sweet, and when He speaks, He's unfathomably deep, and something very intriguing about this section. So I hope to cover a number of verses and touch on some of the points. Uddhava is recalling the very recent disappearance of Lord Krishna from the earth, and telling of the very last pastimes that the Lord had. At the same time, He's remembering all of Krishna's pastimes and feeling ecstasy in the form of intolerable separation from Krishna. So this section that I'm going to read, in terms of external action, there's not so much action, but internal there's much action. And the ultimate truth is revealed for all of us, for how we can follow these great souls like Uddhava and Vidura and hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna's name and fame and pastimes, in this way become fixed for going back to home, back to Godhead. So what basically happens, which I'll discuss, is the Supreme Lord is about to leave, and He's finished His Kurukshetra pastimes. He's arranged for the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. And He told His very dear devotee, Uddhav, that you should avoid these distresses, including the distress of My disappearance. So you go to Bhadarik Ashram, and there in the Himalayas, you associate with sages and chant and hear. But Uddhav could not bear the idea of going away from Krishna, so he followed Him. And he came upon Krishna in this setting that's described here. The Lord was sitting, taking rest against a young banyan tree, with His right lotus foot on His left thigh. And although He had left all household comforts, He looked quite cheerful in that posture. Just this is what I meant by mysterious, that Krishna is sitting so gravely and calmly under a small banyan tree, thinking very deeply. It's described later, though we don't know what Krishna is thinking. And He's just about to leave this little earth planet after all His pastimes. And He's all by Himself after He's done so many things. He's sitting in a detached way, no more 16,000 wives or battlefield of Kurukshetra. He's just sitting by Himself. Although He had left all household comforts, He looked quite cheerful in that posture. So Uddhava comes to Him, and Krishna speaks, Uddhava speaks. Maitreya happens to come along and hear these teachings. And then Krishna gives some instructions to Uddhava. And again, Uddhava is telling all this to Vidura. And then we hear what happens after that. What Uddhava says, at that time, after traveling in many parts of the world, Maitreya, a great devotee of the Lord, and a friend and well-wisher of the great sage Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas, reached that spot out of His own perfect accord. Now, this is also mysterious, because as we hear, Maitreya, although he's mentioned here as a great devotee, he was mixed devotee. And he wasn't eligible for such a direct darshan of Krishna, especially at this confidential moment at the end of his pastimes. But he just happened to come along, as if he had some other intent in mind. He just walked onto this scene where Krishna is sitting under the tree, about to talk to a very intimate devotee, Uddhava. He's kind of like a mixed jnani and bhakta. So how is it that he got this special mercy? It's described that maybe it was some agyata sukrita. Otherwise, he wasn't really eligible. But sometimes we are very lucky and we get some special association. So Uddhava frankly says that as Krishna spoke, he it was with a particular glance upon me, having allowed me to rest, the Lord spoke to me as follows. So Maitreya is kind of looking on, very fortunately, at the prior conversation between Krishna and Uddhava. The point is that just being a great sage or intellectual is not the qualification for becoming dear to Krishna, or certainly not cultivating impersonal knowledge. But spontaneous love is what attracts Krishna. So he says to Uddhav, O Vasu, I know from within your mind what you desired in the days of yore when the Vasus and other demigods responsible for expanding the universal affairs performed sacrifices. You particularly desired to achieve my association. This is very difficult to obtain for others, but I award it to you. So in a past life, Uddhava was one of these eight Vasus, and he desired, and Krishna knew in his heart, that he had a strong desire for personal association with Krishna. And Krishna assured him that this would take place, and not only it was taking place now, but he assured him that eternally it would continue. And in his purport, Prabhupada says that when Maitreya saw this and heard Krishna say, the ultimate goal is actually to associate with me, it finally dawned on Maitreya, this is the goal of life, to be here with Krishna. And then he started to desire it. Maitreya finally became aware of the importance of entering into the association of the Lord. So we also are waiting to learn that great value of associating with Krishna, which we can do. We're doing so many other things, running here and there, and including some kind of darshan of Krishna, maybe a hurried darshan on our way to some other activity, and a hurried japa while thinking of something else. But the real thing is to be there with Krishna. And Maitreya suddenly realized this after so much practice of meditation on his part. So Krishna says, looking to Uddhav, O honest one, your present life is the last and the supermost, because in this term of life you have been awarded my ultimate favor. Now you can go to my transcendental abode by Kunta, by leaving this universe of conditioned living entities. Your visit to me in this lonely place because of your pure and unflinching devotional service is a great boon for you. So it's not just that these precious moments are to be shared with Krishna before he leaves, but the Lord is promising Uddhava, you have my permission now that you will not come back again. You go to an eternal abode and we'll be there together. We'll always be together. Reminds me of in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramananda Roy, when he so much loved being with Lord Chaitanya when they were talking about Krishna. And then he said, Lord Chaitanya was about to leave, he said, Oh, don't leave. Can you at least stay for 3 or 10 more days? And Lord Chaitanya says, What to speak of 10 more days? He said, I don't ever want to leave your company. You should come and live with me in Jagannath Puri. But the Lord wants to be always with his devotees, and they always want to be with him. O Uddhava, in the lotus millennium in the days of yore, at the beginning of the creation, I spoke unto Brahma, who is situated on the lotus that grows out of my navel, about my transcendental glories, which the great sages describe as Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a reference to the four verses. And they're called sometimes Chatur Shloka or nutshell verses that contain the whole Bhagavatam in brief. So Lord Krishna is saying, I spoke to Lord Brahma. Uddhav said, O Vidura, when I was thus favored at every moment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and addressed by Him with great affection, my words failed in tears and the hairs on my body erupted. After smearing my tears, I, with folded hands, spoke like this. O my Lord, devotees who engage in the transcendental loving service of your lotus feet have no difficulty in achieving anything within the realm of the four principles of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. But, O Great One, as far as I am concerned, I have preferred only to engage in the loving service of your lotus feet. Hmm. So, personal association was mentioned by Krishna as the goal. And here, Uddhava speaks of that in terms of service. Because how do you associate with Krishna? Not that you just be with him, but he inspires us to render some kind of loving service, and that's the nature of the association. Even in this world, we associate with Vaishnavas through the service medium. And Prabhupada says in one purport, service is the most congenial form of intimacy. And certainly that's true with Krishna. We don't be with Krishna to enjoy him, like in sense gratification, but to serve him. My Lord, kindly explain to us, if you think us competent to receive it, that transcendental knowledge which gives enlightenment about yourself and which you explained before to Brahmaji. He wants to hear from Krishna. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, touch Shrinu, hear from me. So devotees, they delight in hearing direct from Krishna's lotus mouth anything that he wishes to say, any instructions, and especially anything about himself. They want to know about Krishna from Krishna, or Krishna's representative. This keeps them alive. And now we have this in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. When I thus expressed my heartfelt desires unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the lotus-eyed Lord instructed me about his transcendental situation. So the words transcendental situation are paramam stitim. And Prabhupada explains that this refers to confidential situation of Krishna. Not just that Krishna says, yes, my situation is that I'm God. But he tells very confidential information about his situation. Prabhupada says, this transcendental situation comprises his dealings with devotees engaged in transcendental loving service as exhibited in Dwarka and Vrindavan. When the Lord explained his specific transcendental situation, it was meant for Uddhava only. And therefore Uddhava said, unto me, although the great sage Maitreya was also sitting there, such transcendental situation is hardly understood by those whose devotion is mixed with speculative knowledge or fruitive activities. So many times there may be some spiritual discourse, but if the audience is not qualified, it will not be on confidential matters about Krishna and his loving service with the devotees, especially in Dwarka and especially in Vrindavan. Prabhupada says, the Lord's activities in confidential love are very rarely disclosed to the general devotees who are attracted by devotion mixed with knowledge and mysticism. Such activities are the inconceivable pastimes of the Lord. So he was going to tell to Uddhava something much more than he had told to Lord Brahma in the form of those four verses. We shouldn't think that we've completed our course in Krishna consciousness. I know the Bhagavad Gita, I know Srimad Bhagavatam. But there are so many levels of meaning to be understood in Prabhupada's purports. And the more we become qualified, we can understand the paramam stitim, the actual situation of Krishna. Uddhava is now turning to Vidura, and he says, I have studied the path of understanding self-knowledge from my spiritual master, the Personality of Godhead, and thus after circumambulating him, I have come to this place, very much aggrieved due to separation. My dear Vidura, now I am mad, for want of the pleasure of seeing him. And just to mitigate this, I am now proceeding to Badarik Ashram in the Himalayas for association as I have been instructed by him. Now, gradually we're going to hear exactly why Krishna arranged that Uddhava should meet him just before Krishna left this planet. He had something in mind, not just some chance or idle meeting. And what it is that he wanted to say to Uddhava and what he instructed Uddhava to do gradually is told by Uddhava and by Prabhupada here. But in other words, he gave him some instructions, some orders. Prabhupada says, execution of the Lord's service is the main occupation of a pure devotee. Uddhava's separation from the Lord was unbearable, and therefore he started to Badarik Ashram in obedience to the Lord's order, because the order of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. As long as one is engaged in the execution of the order of the Lord, there is no factual separation from him. We know this also from association with Srila Prabhupada. As pleasurable as it was to be with him when he was visiting a temple and he would lecture and go on walks, then inevitably he would leave after a few days for another place, and devotees couldn't go with him. But to get some order from him, that now I'm going this place, but here's what I want you to do. You should do this. You should preach in the college, or you should distribute books. You should maintain the deity in this temple. Then you could do that order, and we still can today. And just as hearing about Krishna keeps us alive, so a devotee, when he has some order, then he can bear the separation of Krishna. In fact, it's the same as being with Krishna. And then he says, there in Badarik Ashram, the personality of Godhead in his incarnation as the sages Nara and Narayan has been undergoing great penance since time immemorial for the welfare of all amiable living beings. So this place, Badarik Ashram, is still there in India. You can only go there in the summer months, otherwise it's all frozen up. And so at this particular time, Krishna had some service that he wanted Uddhava to do in this place, and he sent them there. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, after hearing from Uddhava all about the annihilation of his friends and relatives, the learned Vidura pacified his overwhelming bereavement by dint of his transcendental knowledge. While Uddhava, the chief and most confidential among the devotees of the Lord, was going away, Vidura, in affection and confidence, questioned him. So this was, if this was overwhelming to Uddhava, that he had just been with Krishna, and Krishna gave him some personal instruction, and now he was on his way to carry it out. And Vidura is also overwhelmed to be in contact with this devotee who had so recently been with Krishna. So all of a sudden, Uddhava is walking away. He said, wait, don't go away from me. We read earlier that Vidura, he'd been sort of kicked out of the palace, and he left before he was physically kicked out by Duryodhana and company, and he was wandering around. And now he finally met the greatest touchstone devotee of Krishna, just literally coming right from Krishna. And now Uddhava says, all right, goodbye, I'm going. So he says, wait. While Uddhava, the chief and most confidential devotee among the devotees of the Lord, was going away, Vidura, in affection and confidence, questioned him. O Uddhava, because the servants of Vishnu, the Lord, wander in the interest of serving others, it is quite fit that you kindly describe the self-knowledge with which you have been enlightened by the Lord himself. Like he's reminding him of the preacher's responsibility, that you should preach to me. You're supposed to, you are compassionate. And so please do that. Prabhupada says how, in his purport, that all humanity is baffled without knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And so the devotees kindly wander all over the earth and other planets also to give out this knowledge. Thus the knowledge which was received by Uddhava directly from the Lord deserves to be distributed in human society, especially to persons like Vidura, who are highly advanced in the devotional service of the Lord. What Uddhava was carrying was not ordinary, even in transcendental knowledge, but a very rare knowledge. We were reading in the Bhagavatam today and yesterday about the kind of persons who should not be instructed by the spiritual master, and then today the kind of persons who should be instructed. So we learned all kinds of qualifications and disqualifications. So even without any qualification, preachers distribute the mercy of the holy name and prasadam and books. But with qualification, then there's special instructions. So we should try to become qualified and get more and more information, more and more nectar, more and more surrender and service. Spiritual life isn't static. If you think it's static and boring, that means that you've stopped at a certain point. You have not reached the final point. So Uddhava is begging, Vidura is begging Uddhava, please preach to me. Uddhava said, you may take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya, who is nearby and who is worshipable for reception and transcendental knowledge. He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead while he was about to quit this mortal world. So Uddhava, in effect, says, I have to go, but you can learn what I learned from Maitreya. We don't want to minimize Maitreya. He underwent a transformation by being there with Uddhava. Even though Krishna was not really looking at him, but at Uddhava, he heard everything, and he became qualified. And it turns out there are other reasons why Vidura should go to Maitreya. Anybody know why Uddhava said that you should go to Maitreya, not me? Well,
Because Maitreya was elder?
Yeah.
Therefore the etiquette was to hear from the elder person?
Right, yeah. He was elder, and also Vidura was elder to Uddhava. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, after thus discussing with Vidura the transcendental name, fame, qualities on the bank of the Yamuna, Uddhava was overwhelmed with great affliction. He passed the night as if it were a moment, and thereafter he went away. So now, as we could expect, Maharaj Parikshit, he's listening to this very keen intelligence. When we say rapt attention and submission, it certainly means that one doesn't raise a lot of doubts and challenges. But it does mean that you inquiries come to mind in such a way that you know how to inquire to get more information. The speaker, like Sukadeva Goswami, he may not be so inclined to tell everything, to tell different confidential topics, unless he's inquired by someone who has great interest. So Maharaj Parikshit, he always listens very thoughtfully and asks some good questions, and then the topics get churned up more and more. So after hearing this much, the king inquired, after the end of the pastimes of the Lord, Sri Krishna, and after the disappearance of the members of the Vrishni and Bhoja dynasties, why did Uddhava alone remain? And Prabhupada gives in the purport some reasons why. Because Krishna has gone, the whole Yadu dynasty is gone, and this Uddhava is wandering around on the earth. Why didn't he go too? Lord Krishna ordered Uddhava by signal to go to Bhadarik Ashram after his departure, and Uddhava, as a pure devotee of the Lord, carried out the order more faithfully than going back to Godhead or the abode of the Lord. That was the cause of his remaining alone, even after the departure of the Lord. So Krishna asked him to stay. So who wants to go back to Godhead if Krishna wants you to stay on the earth? If you're a pure devotee, you're not going to say, like the little children do with their parents sometimes, that they don't want to do what their parents want to do. They have a different idea. But when when Krishna says to the pure devotee, please do this, then he wants to do that. He wants to please Krishna. But this still doesn't tell us why. It doesn't tell us why Krishna wants him to stay. He just said that he wants him to stay. Why? Now I shall leave the vision of this mundane world, Uddhava says. This is Krishna. Excuse me. Sukadeva replied, my dear king, Krishna thought to himself as follows. Now he's explaining why, what Krishna wanted Uddhava to do, and why Uddhava alone remained of all the Yadus. Krishna thought, now I shall leave the vision of this mundane world, and I see that Uddhava, the foremost of my devotees, is the only one who can be directly entrusted with knowledge about me. Prabhupada says, Uddhava was considered to be the best among all the devotees of that time, and therefore he was directly instructed by the Lord's grace so that people might take advantage of Uddhava's knowledge after the disappearance of the Lord from the vision of the world. This is one of the reasons why Uddhava was advised to go to Bhadarik Ashram. So he was asked to go to speak to the qualified devotees there, this special message. But that's still not revealed yet what it is. But it was something very special that only Uddhava could understand and only he could teach to others. So Krishna always is intelligent, knows what to do. He picked out Uddhava to carry this message. Not anybody could carry it, or no one else could carry it. Krishna says, Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world in order to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Actually, the knowledge that Uddhava knows, it's the same knowledge that Arjuna knows, bhakti, but it is more advanced than Bhagavad Gita. There's even a section, 11th canto, called Uddhav Gita, which is all about bhakti. Whereas Bhagavad Gita is, certainly the conclusion is bhakti, but there's karma there and there's jnana, and yoga is taught also to gradually bring us to bhakti. But with Uddhava, it's all bhakti. Shukadeva Goswami informed the king that Uddhava, being thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, reached the pilgrimage site of Bhadarik Ashram and engaged himself there in trance to satisfy the Lord. Now Prabhupada tells us more. Taking mercy on the great sages who lived at Bhadarik Ashram, the Lord authorized Uddhava to speak on his behalf. Unless one has such authorization, one cannot understand or preach the devotional service of the Lord. Uddhava was particularly deputed to carry a message to Bhadarik Ashram, not only to the sages of that place of pilgrimage, but also to the Naranarayan deities. Such a message must have been more confidential than the knowledge described in the pages of the Vedas. So, dharma shatatvam nihitam guhayam mahajana yena gata sapanta. The truth that the great devotees have in their hearts, that's even better than it was in the scriptures. What Rupa Goswami knows, what Raghunath Goswami knows, it's not even in the scriptures, as written by Srila Vyasadeva. Their knowledge is so confidential. So who is to receive that knowledge? Not ordinary persons. Therefore, with this preaching mission, he didn't just go into the marketplace, but he went to the topmost sages who were qualified by so much austerities, and he told them, says even the Naranarayan deities. The Lord is undoubtedly the source of all knowledge, and the messages dispatched through Uddhava to Naranarayan and other sages were also part of the Vedic knowledge, but they were more confidential and could be sent or understood only through such a pure devotee of Uddhava. So this is very intriguing. But we, in one sense, we maybe feel like observers, that it's all over our head. Whatever it is that Uddhava has learned from Krishna, we don't know. And whatever he told the sages, we're not qualified yet to know. But that's not a fact, that we're left outside of this. Prabhupada says in the purport, every living entity can, like Uddhava, also become a confidential messenger on the same level as the Lord, provided he becomes confidential himself by dint of loving devotional service. So we're using this word confidential. What does it mean? It means trusted. A person who is proved by their service activities to be, or by their relationship with Krishna or the Vaishnavas, can be trusted. Then that, and or another meaning is the person who is sincerely interested in Krishna's activities becomes qualified for confidential preaching and hearing. So here Prabhupada, He says this isn't just one person only Uddhava, but everyone can become qualified like this. And now, here's a very confidential devotee who's mentioned, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. His nature is that he gives out secrets. Some of the devotees know the secrets, confidential knowledge about Krishna and Vrindavan, and they rightly keep it to themselves. But someone like Vishwanath Chakravarti, he also rightly wants to tell others, thinking that if I don't tell, then this will be lost forever, and no one will ever know these things about Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya's meaning and the meaning of Radha and Krishna. So here, now Prabhupada tells us what Vishwanath Chakravarti says that message was about. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that confidential message must have concerned the mystery of Krishna's departure and the annihilation of his dynasty after the end of his appearance in the mundane world for 100 years. So, those sages at Narnarayan, they must have wanted to know some of these inexplicable pastimes. Like, why did Krishna wind up his own pastimes? Why did he cause the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty? And what exactly happened that the Supreme Lord left this planet? How does he leave the planet? He has a spiritual body. How did he quit the planet? What is the nature of all this? Vishwanath Chakravarti says, this was some of what he actually spoke to them. Vidura also heard about Uddhava, about the appearance and disappearance of Lord Krishna, the Supersoul in the mortal world, which is a subject matter sought after with great perseverance by great sages. So he was on his way to Bhadarik Ashram, but he told Vidura also what he was going to tell them in Bhadarik Ashram. If we're very, very interested, then the secrets of Krishna consciousness will be revealed to us. Like what Jesus says in the Bible, ask and you will receive, knock and it will be opened to you. So Krishna wants us to become very Krishna conscious, to be happy by chanting Hare Krishna and to be free of material life. But you have to want it. You have to ask for it. And then he gives it. So Vidura, he said, please, don't go away. Tell me first. And although he said, oh, you should go to Maitreya, first he actually told him a lot of things. The Lord's glorious acts and his acceptance of various transcendental forms for the performance of extraordinary pastimes in the mortal world are very difficult for anyone other than his devotees to understand. And for the beasts, they are simply a mental disturbance. So most people are like beasts and they can't understand any of this. What is Krishna's pastimes? And they make so many objections and raise so many doubts. So a devotee talking to such people, he's mostly just arguing with them, which is a waste of the devotee's time. Can you imagine a devotee like Uddhava being challenged that, well, how could Krishna be God and how could he leave this earth? And Uddhava is so dear to Krishna, Krishna is so dear to him. Or some speculation about the impersonal. These things are so distasteful to him. Of course, the compassionate preachers like Srila Prabhupada, although they have in their heart all this intimate knowledge of Krishna consciousness, which they would like to share, they come, as Prabhupada did, to New York City, and they don't get asked questions about Krishna, but mostly in a challenging way. But they're so kind that they patiently explain everything again and again just to raise us to the right platform to understand things. So this is mostly the end. Understanding that he was remembered by Lord Krishna while quitting this world, Vidura began to cry loudly, overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love. I don't know exactly why he knows that. Something that Uddhava said to him. Prabhupada says, Vidura was overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love when he understood that Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thought of him at the last moment Although he thought of himself as insignificant, he was remembered by the Lord by his causeless mercy. So when Vidura heard this, that Krishna, who has so many things to think of, and so many great devotees, and he was about to leave this planet, he thought of Vidura. So just to be thought of in some little corner of Krishna's heart and consciousness, and Vidura cried loudly, overwhelmed by the ecstasy of love, "Krishna remembers me." This was his... Vidura accepted this as a great favor and he cried. This crying is the last word in the progressive path of devotional service. One who can cry for the Lord in love is certainly successful in the line of devotional service. After passing a few days on the bank of the river Yamuna, Vidura, the self-realized soul, reached the bank of the Ganges where the great sage Maitreya was situated. So Vidura's life has become so much more blissful and progressive since he left the palace. And just materially he seems to be poor now. He has no place to stay. No, he doesn't dress properly. He has no occupation, just wandering. But everything is opening up to him. He met Uddhav. He heard how Krishna was left this world and that Krishna was thinking of him. And now Uddhav has sent him to Maitreya for more thorough instruction. Maitreya is like Shiksha Guru. So now the next chapter is called Vidura's Talks with Maitreya. In fact, there's quite a few chapters about their instructions, the instructions of Maitreya to Vidura. Well, I think you'll agree, this is a very wonderful section. I only was able to touch on it a little bit. You can read it yourself. Such are the activities of Krishna and the pure devotees. So we have some time. If there's any questions that you have from these verses, you could discuss them. Yes, Gandhari. The special boon was that he was able to meet Krishna in the lonely place. It's an intriguing description that he was sitting against a young banyan tree and his right foot was placed on his left thigh. And Jiva Goswami in his purport says Krishna was actually sitting like this, but it also is symbolic. The young banyan tree stands for the fact that this is a small universe, and I forget all the other details. The commentators bring out all these meanings. Krishna doesn't just, like we do, just plop down somewhere when we're tired and nothing has any meaning. If Krishna sits somewhere, if he sits against a particular tree, if he puts his foot on his leg in a certain way, everything is full of meaning. So that he chose to be alone is why it's a lonely place. And then, so it's a great fortune that Uddhava could come at that time. That's what Krishna is saying. Your being able to see me in this lonely place is a great benediction for you. I think it's pretty clear that it must be a great benediction to be able to see Krishna at any time and at the last moment. And then at that time he promised him, now I'm going and you also can go now and go back to Vaikuntha. Going to? That also, what I just said is also true. So you wanted to know why the Bhadarika Ashram? Why Bhadarika Ashram is a lonely place?
No, you mentioned that it's going to be a special boon for by going to the Ashram.
Yes, that was a special boon because he could carry out a confidential order of Krishna. And he could get to see the Narayan deity, and he could associate for chanting and hearing with those great sages. So that was even, we read one sentence, it said, for Uddhava, carrying out that order was even better than going back to Godhead. And that's why everyone else went back, but he stayed. Do some of Krishna's business, then I'll go back. That what?
A hunter came and was in the 12th canto, it's described that Krishna appeared to be
shot. I don't know. It mentions there was a banyan tree there?
I don't know, because I thought that was the last time.
Yeah.
Just before he was leaving.
Right. I don't know the connection of these activities and that and those, whether they immediately happened after in the same spot or not. This was very near the end. That is the end. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's not much told more than what I said. It just says that to meet the Lord is not an ordinary incident. Vyasadeva and Maitreya were friends and mutual well-wishers. By some fortunate accident, Maitreya reached the place where Lord Sri Krishna was resting. To meet the Lord is not an ordinary incident. Maitreya was a great sage and a learned scholar, philosopher, but not a pure devotee of the Lord. Therefore, his meeting with the Lord at that time may have been due to Agyata Sukrita or some unknown devotional service. Pure devotees always engage in pure devotional activities, and therefore their meeting with the Lord is natural. But when those who are not up to the standard meet the Lord, it is due to the unforeseen fortune of accidental devotional service. So there's a causal relationship, cause-effect. But it doesn't quite pan out. He did some good activities, but not that wonderful that he should meet Krishna. But somehow, you just take it as part of Krishna's inconceivable activities and arrangements. I don't know. At least it indicates that Krishna is completely independent. And he can give his mercy to anybody. Well, why not? There's so many great devotees. Why Maitreya? And Krishna is independent. If he wants to give mercy to a scholar, philosopher, he can. Yes.
My understanding about the non-arrogant ego is always like a little hazy.
Mine is hazy too.
All I know is with Krishna and Arjuna. But here it says we, but I have the difference from we, she, not plural.
What about Krishna and Arjuna? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, different things are said. I'm sorry, I can't separate and say that it's only one or the other. What we seem to have a difficulty with is that different things are said as to the nature of Narayan. One of the paintings shows that two young sages, and he's one of the incarnations of the Lord. I'm sure we can understand if we just research it more, study it more. But it sounded like Uddhava was going to get benefit by darshan from them, but he's also going to give them benefit with this special knowledge from Krishna's original form. Yeah, there are different kind of mixtures. One verse by Rupa Goswami describes unmixed. Anya vilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavratam. So there he mentions devotional service should be free of karma and jnana. Those are the mixtures, the impure mixtures. One is if you perform devotional service, but it's mixed with different material desires that you still have. You want to serve Krishna, but you still want other things that are material. So this is mixed. So someone like Maitreya, he didn't He didn't have karma mixture, but he had a jnana mixture, which is an inclination to think of the absolute truth in an impersonal way. So it means he has some conception or appreciation of the personality of Godhead, but at the same time likes to speculate to acquire knowledge aside from devotional service. Whereas actually all we need is devotional knowledge of devotional service, the bhakti shastras. So in an ordinary sense of ourselves, say we're interested to read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavan to hear about Krishna, but at the same time if we wanted to read impersonal descriptions of the impersonal truth, or even read Mayavadi philosophy, if we were interested in Shankara and but also interested in Krishna, so this is a kind of mixture. I remember one professor, a very friendly professor, Hopkins, was talking with Prabhupada, and he was asking about, from his point of view, different Vaishnavas who he knew from study, Aurobindo and others. He said, they were Vaishnavas? Yes. And Prabhupada said, oh, there are so many Vaishnavas, or persons who say they're Vaishnavas. He says, but when we feel their pulse, said, we realize they're actually Mayavadis. So that idea, just like the expert doctor, he's not an ordinary person. He goes right to the heart of your well-being, and he listens and he knows your health. So a real Vaishnava like Prabhupada, he can look through the so-called Vaishnavas who may have some actual sentiment for Krishna, but in their heart of hearts, they're some kind of Mayavadi, actually. They think maybe that they'll merge with Krishna, or that Krishna is a very great yogi, but beyond Krishna, there's the impersonal. Like the scholar who taught Bhagavad Gita and said, when Krishna says surrender to me, it doesn't mean you should surrender to Krishna actually, that he's a person, but he means you should surrender to the impersonal within Krishna. Well, Prabhupada was always angry at that interpretation. That's an example of mixed. It's hardly even mixed. It's all Mayavadi. But when there's some mixture, so Maitreya was like that. He may have really, someone who's really into Upanishadic studies of the impersonal feature of the absolute truth, he actually may get a lot of pleasure, not thinking about Krishna's pastimes so much, Krishna and Vrindavan, and Krishna with the gopis and the cowherd boys, but he really likes to think about Krishna in his unmanifest, formless feature, but also likes to hear about Krishna. So he's mixed. He shouldn't be mixed. The devotees regard the impersonal destination as hellish. Because where's Krishna? It's just this formless light. I want to be with Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. Yes. A jnana bhakta, or one whose devotion is mixed with the monistic viewpoint, is not a pure devotee. Maitreya was a devotee, but his devotion was mixed. The Lord reciprocates with his devotees on the basis of transcendental love and not philosophical knowledge or fruitive activities. The gopis in Vrindavan were neither highly learned scholars nor mystic yogis. They had spontaneous love for Krishna. He became their heart and soul, and the gopis became the heart and soul of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya approved the relationship of the gopis with the Lord as supreme. Here, the Lord's attitude towards Uddhava was more intimate than with Maitreya Muni. Anyone else? Yes? Oh, Vaishnavi.
So why is Krishna speaking about karma and jnana? Is it because we have to practice first to
become? No, but because he's speaking to everyone, he's so kind. He wants to elevate everybody. So he speaks sometimes to those who are attached to practicing yoga, and then sometimes he speaks to those who are attached to activity, karma, and then he says, in the end, give all this up and just surrender to me. Give up all the other activity. So it's not that we have to go through that. If especially if we take the conclusion, Sarva Dharma Parityajnamami Kam Sharanam Braja, then we will think, well, why should I go through all these others? Let me just surrender to Krishna. But he takes the time to gradually elevate. However, in Prabhupada's purports to the Bhagavad Gita, he teaches bhakti right from the beginning. Krishna teaches gradually, but Prabhupada doesn't waste time to let us know what the Bhagavad Gita is ultimately about. So therefore, the Bhagavad Gita as it is with Prabhupada's purports, it's not like it's mixed in any way. It's all bhakti. But it is a gradual process that Krishna is teaching. I've got a couple minutes left. Rupa Raghana? Oh, Gokul Ranjan. Reading with that intention. Yeah, he'll become. It appears like that, but the Bhagavatam is a spotless Purana, which Dharma Projita Kaitavo, all other Dharma is kicked out, only pure devotion. So it may be a boon there for those who want that thing, but when we read following Prabhupada, we're not interested in that. But if one reads just for getting that boon, then it would be mixed. Yeah, devotional service, but with a desire for some material power. Better that you worship Krishna. Akama, sarva kama, va moksha kama. Even if you have material desire, worship Krishna and you get everything. Okay? Jai.